Live from around the world, it's time for Peter Greenberg Worldwide with America's number one frontline travel news journalist. Around the world, the trip begins with a kiss. Roam if you want to, roam around the world. Get on the phone now and call 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. And now, the man who travels over 400,000 miles each year, the travel detective, Peter Greenberg.
And welcome aboard another edition of Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Hope you're having a wonderful weekend wherever you happen to be. Of course, we've been living on planes every week. I think I should just never eat out anymore, just up at 35,000 feet. But then again, that would be the oxymoron life of airline food, which is an oxymoron in and of itself. But let me tell you where we are, 26 degrees, 38 minutes north, 81 degrees, 52 minutes west. We're coming to you from Fort Myers, Florida, but in specific terms, we're coming to you from a very fascinating place. In fact, it's the 10th most visited historic residence in the United States. It's the Edison and Ford Winter Estates. Not many people, unless they do their homework, realize that Henry Ford and Thomas Edison were the best of friends. And for 46 years, They wintered here. Thomas Edison did, and then Henry Ford came down and got the house next to him. And what these guys conspired to do with another friend of theirs named Mr. Firestone, for those of you who follow the tire business, is just an amazing story of engineering, innovation, and the development of industrialized America. Great tour. And for those people who just think Thomas Edison was Mr. Lightbulb, you got another thing coming. Let's talk about the phonograph. Let's talk about his pursuit of trying to find an alternate source of rubber for his friend, Mr. Firestone. Great stories here, and a great opportunity to tour the place. And I should also tell you that, I have to admit this, they sell great restoration replicas that actually work of the original Edison light bulbs that will work today. And so I bought a few from 1893. Now I just have to find the right light that'll show them. They're not the brightest lights in the world. We've said that about a lot of people I've known, but the point is, they are beautiful decorative items. Anyway, lots of stuff to talk about in the news. And one that comes to mind immediately, and, you know, we're always talking about ancillary fees on the airlines. Well, get ready for this, boys and girls. Last year, a study that just came out from New York University's Hospitality and Tourism Research, that the big hotel chains, we're talking Hilton, Hyatt, Marriott, they raked in nearly $1.9 billion last year in ancillary fees. We're not talking about the airline fees, like what they're going to charge you for a pillow, or you know, changing your ticket, or a soft drink or food. These are fees after you've checked into the hotel for things that you normally found that were included in your bill. Now, here's the deal. They're charging more for resort fees. I think that's insidious, a resort fee. Mandatory tip. That's a fee? Where does the word service come in there? Can somebody explain this to me? I'll tell you a story. True story. A couple of years ago, I was checking into a hotel in Phoenix. I'll tell you the name of the hotel. It was the Hilton Point. And I didn't have any luggage. I was just two carry-on bags. I gave the check-in clerk my credit card. She gave me my room key. I walked myself to the room. And I was leaving the next morning. And so the night, about an hour before I checked out, about 6 o'clock in the morning, the bill was placed under my door. I looked at the bill, and there was the bill for the room, and then there was a charge. And the charge was another $10. And how is it listed as? Mandatory tip to bellman. Mandatory tip to bellman? I didn't use a bellman. And what I found out was the bellman didn't even get the money. Ugh. Now think about this. The Business Travel Coalition has actually filed a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission. And this is the basis of their suit, that if these fees are mandatory, then they should be part of the base rate you pay when you check into the hotel. Otherwise, the advertised rate is not truthful and not transparent, and it's just a marketing scam to get you in the building. So now, you know that the airlines have already been nailed for this, and there's been a rule for the last couple of months in the Department of Transportation requiring the airlines to list on their pages, meaning on their web pages, or when you call up on the phone, the exact price you're going to pay, not what they're advertising plus, 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 plus. What is the exact cost of your ticket? And I think the hotel should be forced to do the same thing. Now, if they don't, we have an easy solution to this. It's called failure to disclose. That's right. If the hotel checks you in at a $169 rate, and when you check out, you have a bill of $218 because they wanted to charge you for a towel or to breathe or for the mandatory tip to the bellman, if they didn't disclose that, guess what? You don't have to pay it. That's right. They failed to disclose. And you ask immediately to have it removed from your bill. And how do you do that? You should not forget to do this. People do this all the time. When do they get their bill? Right as they're racing out the hotel to go to the airport. What you do is, the night before you check out, stop at the front desk and ask to see a copy of your bill. You'll know right then and there whether or not you're getting hosed. And you can protest it right then and there. And once that happens, you got half a decent shot. Because what most people do, because they don't know any better, is they race out of the hotel with their bill. They've already given their credit card, so it's already charged against their credit card. They race out of the hotel. They get home. And by the time they get home, it's, I've already paid it. And that's what totes up to about $1.9 billion a year in extra fees. Now, for my friends in the hotel business, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not denying you an opportunity to make a profit. I'm not denying you an opportunity to actually make money. But I'm insisting upon us having the opportunity to know what we're being charged. I'm insisting upon us having the right to know exactly what we're getting into before we give you our credit card. And it's simple as that. And if you were shopping around, Mr. Hotel Executive, you'd insist on the exact same thing. It's really as simple and as straightforward as that. And the same applies to the cruise industry. When you go buy a cruise cabin, and you see the ads all the time, especially at this time of the year for the Western Caribbean, as low as $570 for a week. I mean, that's less than $100 a day for your cabin. Yes, it's double occupancy, so two people have to be there, but each person's paying less than $100 a day for the cruise, and that presumably includes all your meals. Well, it does include your three meals a day if you eat in the main dining room. But everything else on the ship is ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. And they really need to disclose what you might pay so that you don't feel that you've been nickel and dimed, you can budget accordingly, and you can actually enjoy your cruise. The words all-inclusive don't apply here. And even in the hotel businesses where it does apply, it's usually followed by an asterisk, the worst symbol I've ever seen. Because an asterisk after the words all-inclusive is a full frontal acknowledgement that the travel industry is about to lie to you. So I just thought I'd tell you about that because it was on my mind. And when you see figures like $1.9 billion, it requires me to talk to you about that. Well, coming up, another thing we're going to be required to talk to. When you fly, it's the old W.C. Fields quote, there are two kinds of flying, first class and with children. Well, we're going to be joined by Ed Hewitt, the features editor for Independent Traveler, to talk about, should there be a kids-free zone on the next flight you're on? Of course, does that apply to the adults who are acting like children or just the kids themselves? Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida, back right after these messages.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you, coming to you from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida. Great place to visit. As I said at the earlier part of the show, the 10th most visited historic residence in the United States, and well worth it. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. You can also follow me on Twitter. My handle is @PeterSGreenberg, or on Facebook, facebook.com/PeterGreenberg. And as I do every week at this time of the show, I encourage you to go to our website with the original name, petergreenberg.com, for one very important reason, to check out our comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that essential hard work all around the world, in Haiti and Japan and China and Chile and Christchurch and so many other places that have been so hard hit by natural disasters. And you can actually look there and see, and it's somewhat a surprise to see how many different organizations have structured great volunteer vacation trips that you can be a part of, or that they're not structured entire trips, but they allow you to bookend and piggyback to a trip you may already be on and still have a great time and give a day or two of your service to others. And whatever you give back, you get back exponentially. And what we try to do every week on the show is to highlight and spotlight a local volunteerism organization. And of course, since we're coming to you from Florida, check out the Living Shoreline. It's a project created by the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. Now, these guys welcome short-term volunteers all year round. Now, the projects vary, but here's the cool option. You get to work with local restaurants to collect used oyster shells and then distribute those shells on boats to help build and create reefs, which then protect the shores from wave action. See, there's a cycle here. You get to be part of it. And there's so many other things that these guys do. Plus, you get to go out on the water. How bad could that be? For more information on how to get involved, go check out our website, petergreenberg.com. And one piece of housekeeping, don't forget to check out our podcast. That's right. We've got it up every week with all the news you can use from Fort Myers to Shanghai and everywhere in between. So check it out on iTunes or Stitcher, or just go to our website for the link. And there you have it. Now, right before the break, I asked the question, which some people might find rhetorical, should there be a kids-free zone on board your next flight? And, should every plane have a family zone? One or the other? Joining me now, the features editor for The Independent Traveler, Ed Hewitt. Ed, you got the answer for that?
I like the fact that you pose it as, should it be a rhetorical question? And just picking up on that, I'd say let's go right past kids-free zones. Let's go to kids-only zones.
Okay.
Or family zones, as you mentioned. I got a six-year-old now. He's a good flight. He's got 80,000 miles in the air. He's pretty good at it. Nonetheless, right off the bat, I thought, why are we sitting here, it's mingled in with all these other people? Call it a family ghetto. Call it whatever you want. That's what sort of a PC folks are saying. No, we can't quarantine anyone. Put us all together. We'll all get along. We'll solve each other's problems, and then no one else has to deal with us.
Yes, you know what? We can actually divide this by the day of the week, because I don't know about you, but if you ever tried to fly on a Saturday.
Yeah, great idea.
Every kid is flying on a Saturday because you're dealing with 100,000 what they call UMs, unaccompanied minors, because they're traveling between two sets of divorced parents. And it's a huge number. Uh-huh. And here's the interesting thing about that. Under federal aviation regulations, there is no requirement for the airline to put on additional flight attendants based on the number of kids on board.
Right.
It's just based on a minimum number of crew people based on a maximum number of passengers.
Exactly.
So it's in everybody's best interest then to sit all the kids together, because otherwise it's a circus in there, and I don't want to be the clown.
I agree with you completely. In the article I wrote, One of my 10 points, it's more efficient for the flight crew. It's more efficient for them in so many ways. Even, unaccompanied minors, they can keep an eye on the three or four kids that are in there. Or with a family, look, they know they've got four rows of really dealing with all that comes with that. And then the rest of the plane, it's just normal. I think it works.
It's interesting because there's another problem, too. It's not a question of do you have a zone for these kids and their families. The way airlines allocate seats these days by pricing them at premium levels, it defeats the purpose of ever having a family zone or a kids-free zone, because people are buying seats based on what they think is where they want to sit, regardless of who they may be sitting next to.
Right. So they may think it's a fantastic seat, and it turns out that they're surrounded by noise, slobber, toys, you name it.
Okay, let's assume that you could have that section. How far in the back of the plane do you want it?
I think it should be the back of the plane. X last rows. There are a few things. One, it's far and away from any of the premium seats. It's noisier back there, which actually I have found drowns out kids. It's near the bathrooms. The people in the back of the plane board first. And so there's just all these things that are built into it that they just get them back there, they get taken care of, and then from there, the families can help each other. If a kid's freaking out, the people next to them can grab their older kid, keep an eye on them. Can you watch my kid here? And then you can, it's also now there's new fees coming up for getting seats together. But if you have the, and it's most of the objections are based on, well, look, I have to sit with my seven-year-old. Well, if you have a section on the plane, it's easy to sit them together because no one else wants to is competing for those seats.
Okay, but now let me ask you this question. Because there's every one of these ideas is good, except it's got a downside. So, for example, if you put everybody in the back of the plane, as you said, it drowns out the kids. It's also noisier, so the kids aren't going to be sleeping.
Well, yeah, it is noisier, and it's bumpier. So when you're flying with kids, you know, those are two downsides for sure. I agree with you completely. And when I made for the downsides of this, I kind of was grasping. Yeah, it's a little noisier, but like if you got a little toddler and they're you're driving around in your car and you've got the Beatles playing or, you know, whatever it is, or in a stroller going down Manhattan, those kids are just racked. So it
okay,
can be done.
Okay, but now here's my second devil's advocate question. Because you're presuming the only people who have kids are in coach. What about the families that travel with their young kids in business and first and the kids are screamers? Now what do you do?
Yeah, you know, I've looked at that. My kid is dead quiet. He's, you know, he's got his things he wants to do. I thought there's no reason a kid like that, really experienced at it, couldn't fly in first class. However, I've never tried to put him up there because I understand how someone could have a beef with a kid who loses it. So, yeah, it's personally fine with me. No children in first class. It's fine with me. However, if you're paying full fare,
you see, you have a legal issue here that somebody says, if I'm paying full fare for a first-class seat for my 9-year-old who's a screamer, I still have the right to buy that seat initially until the kid starts to scream. Now we get into some interesting issues here because now you're affecting the comfort and sometimes even the safety of the rest of the people on the plane. See, I don't have a problem with people flying with their kids. I have a problem with people who fly with their kids and don't take care of their kids on the plane. And the kids are running all over the plane. And they're just jumping the crazy. They're all hyperkinetic. It's not only disruptive. They could get hurt. You know, the beverage cart can crush them.
Yeah, I know. I agree. There is a legal issue. Why can't I pay to have a premium seat just because I have a kid? Why am I not allowed to do that? But then there is a safety issue. You have a kid who can't walk around in the front of the plane, right next to the cockpit. I think you can make a case for that.
See, I have another idea. Here's my other idea. You create a complete baffled cone of silence on the plane, and you throw in a case of Captain Crunch, and you lock them all in.
Right. Let them sort it out.
Let them sort it out. Yeah. Captain Crunch, cone of silence, we're done.
Yeah, it's daycare.
It's daycare. And then they'll get so hyped up and so crazy that by the time the plane lands, that's when they're ready to nap. It's a win-win.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
I'm loving it. Okay, so other than the legal issues and other than the, well, just the arguments that will happen from high fare paying passengers who happen to have unruly kids, you have a great idea there, Ed. It just, I hate to tell you, it ain't going to fly.
Yeah, I'm with you, but I stay. They ask me, I say bring it on.
It's a nice idea, but the idea of a kids-free zone, I just don't think is going to fly. I think we just need to get better noise-canceling headsets and, you know, a little more Kahlua in the milk. Did I say that? Did I say Kahlua in the milk? I'm sorry. I don't want to suggest that at all. But I know a lot of parents who do it. All right. Ed Hewitt, the features editor.
Great to be
for
here.
The Independent Traveler. Thanks, Ed. We really appreciate it. And congratulations on your well-behaved son. We'll be back with more Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida, with a little boating activity right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. Vacation. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. Email me with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. In fact, a little bit later in the show, we're going to deal with some of your emails, which, of course, are always interesting to me because everybody usually has a problem when they travel, and we're going to try to solve it. But my next segment, I'm looking forward to this segment because it's one of my passions. As people know, I love boats. But the title of my next guest, forget the title I might have. She's got the best title of all. She's the boating reporter. Oh, my God. I'd like to be able to walk around and say, I'm the boating reporter, among other publications for Florida Weekly. Her name is Betsy Clayton. Hi, Betsy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want your job. You get to go on boats.
Well, you could just pretend you're the radio boating reporter.
Ooh, don't tell anybody. I love this. So, I mean, this is an area, of course, loaded with boats. Florida, of course, is, you know, between the intracoastal and everything else, you can't go 20 feet without seeing rivers or basically the intracoastal. Right?
Right. This part of Southwest Florida actually has one of the highest boat ownership per capita in the U.S. About one out of every 10 people you'll meet walking down the street here has a boat.
And how many could afford it?
Well, you don't have to have a big boat here because we have such beautiful harbored waterways. That's what makes it affordable. You go to the East Coast, you've got condo canyons and blue water Atlantic. Here you've got estuaries, back bays, little creeks.
We're talking little runabouts.
You can have a short boat, you can have a long boat, but either way you're going to find lots of places to go.
How is the boating business doing right now? Because the guys that I know who are the boat manufacturers tell me that for boats that are selling under $40,000, they're doing very, very well. And for boats that are selling over $20 million, there's a waiting list. People can't get them fast enough. But everything else in the middle is tough because the banks won't lend.
Well, what you're seeing is boats under about 25 feet, obviously, are doing well. Deck boats are making a rebound, pontoon boats.
Center consoles, of course.
Yeah, and that's what goes here. In Southwest Florida, our marine industry is rebounding probably faster than other parts of the nation just because the waterways take the type of boats that people are starting to buy.
And not only that, if you're in Florida, you can't look out your window without seeing water. You want a boat.
Well, if you're not a boater, you're a boat watcher.
No. If you're not a boater, you're smart enough to have friends who have boats.
And that makes you an FOB, a friend of the boater.
No, a CFOB, a cheap friend of boater, because you're just showing up and you're, you know, hopping off them.
I actually met somebody once that had FOB on their baseball cap.
Oh, God.
Custom made.
That's bad news. So how did you get started doing this?
Well, when you move to a part of the country that has 1 in 10 people owning a boat and you happen to know a lot about boats and the boating writer at the paper you used to work at quits, then they look around the newsroom and they think, hey, you could do that.
Why would the boat? See, there's something wrong here. If you're the boating writer, you should never quit.
Well, yeah, I guess not.
So you lucked
out. I
don't
know where maybe she just got on her boat and sailed away.
She got on a bigger boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the most popular boats here, under 25 feet?
Yes. Yeah. Center console, fishing boat, outboard, and of course, paddlecraft, because canoes and kayak sales are not plummeting the same way powerboat sales did.
Now, for somebody visiting Fort Myers who it may not be an experienced boater, you can come down here and learn to boat. You can come down here and learn to sail. You can come down here and can you bareboat charter too?
Yes, and there's plenty of marinas that are all set up for tourists to rent boats. They'll give you the 5-minute rundown on what you need to know about our waterways. But
that's the problem. It's the 5-minute rundown. That's where people get in trouble. They give you the 10-minute rundown.
But what's cool is we're about to become the first spot in the country to launch a smartphone app for our boater's guide, our artificial reef guide, and our paddling trail. So whether you have an Android or an iPhone around it's launching in November, you'll be able to access everything from, you know, grass flats and speed zones to places that you want to go to.
And of course, then when you get lost, you can pick up the phone and they can find you.
Right, because it's GPS enabled. You'll actually know where you are. Isn't that a novel
concept?
What
a new concept. Somebody who actually knows where they are.
Yeah, see, boaters like that cliche that it's all about the journey, not the destination. That's because they usually get lost. Yeah.
The other day, I'm not making this up, I'm going across the bay in New York where I live. Huge fog pulls up and I'm like stuck in it. And all of a sudden, and I got the GPS on, I got the radar going, and I come up to a buoy I've never seen before. I know all the buoys. So here's what, did I get on the radio? No, I got on my cell phone. I called one of the captains and I said, I'm at buoy 9. I've never seen buoy 9. I said, yeah, that's a new one. They just never bothered telling anybody. And that's how I found out where I was. I actually called somebody and said, what am I doing here? Because it wasn't even on the charts.
Did they make fun of you later?
No, because they didn't know about it either. He knew about it, but nobody else did. No, they didn't make fun of me. No. You only get made fun of if you run aground.
Oh, we do that a lot here, too, because we have shallow waterways. But even though our average water depth here is 4 feet, it also gives you...
That's shallow.
Yes. If you're a vacationing boater, though, what's cool to know is it's not the Keys. You're not running over coral. You nudge into the sand. You get out. You push yourself off. It's a much easier boating place to vacation.
So you can always tell everybody you intentionally wanted to ground.
Because you were going to picnic there.
That's it. Of course. So there are a lot of places. And sailing, too, right?
Yes. We have... the offshore sailing school is based here with Steve and Doris Colgate, practically living celebrities. And there's a couple other great places that you can charter boats from. So sailors do like it here because there's so many anchorages, little private coves you can go anchor out, places where you can literally, you know, see the night sky with no other lights around, like when you visit the Everglades, but without all that effort.
I love it. Betsy Clayton with the best title job in the world, boating reporter. And you better not quit because I'm coming to take your job. Betsy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
When we come back, more from Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates right here in Fort Myers. We're back with your emails. And we got some doozies right after this.
Call now to talk to Peter Greenberg at 1-888-887-3837 or email him at peter@petergreenberg.com. This segment of Peter Greenberg Worldwide is proudly brought to you by
MedJet Assist. If you're injured or hospitalized while traveling, MedJet Assist will arrange medical transportation directly to the hospital of your choice. Travel safely and be smart. Get MedJet Assist. Take trips, not chances.
Now back to Peter Greenberg.
43 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida. Taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88 Peter. Now let's get to the emails. We've got one here from Rini in Philadelphia. My husband, two other couples, and I, total of six passengers, are planning a trip to Hawaii in November of next year, 2013. We'll be traveling from Philadelphia to Honolulu, Honolulu to Maui, Maui to back to Philadelphia. Would it be best to try to book our flights through a consolidator or by the normal booking channels? If a consolidator, is there one that you would recommend? Also, when should we book the trip? A certain number of days in advance. Well, first of all, if you book the trip now, you're suicidal. There's not a computer at the airline program to give you a discount that far in advance. So my suggestion to you is wait. Wait until about 45 days out. I know that you're probably going to panic and want to do it earlier than that, but you're not going to find any discounts. And you didn't mention when in November of next year. If you're thinking of going Thanksgiving, that's a bigger problem. If you're thinking of going the Friday before Super Bowl, that's a bigger problem. But if it's not over a holiday period, over spring break, or July 4th or Labor Day, 45 days out is a pretty good rule. Now, you asked about consolidator. First of all, you didn't mention whether or not you have a place to stay. Because if you don't have a place to stay, then what you can do is cut some deals with some of the big tour packagers that block book seats on planes way in advance if you buy their hotel or condo package. And you might want to check with Pleasant Holidays. They do that all the time. Once again, you don't have to do it that far in advance. Remember, an unsold room or airplane seat is revenue they'll never recoup once the plane takes off or the sun rises. So 45 days out is the way to do it. And you asked about a consolidator. I know of no consolidator that books that kind of stuff in advance. Consolidators right now are really focusing more often than not in the cruise industry and with last-minute unsold berths and cabins. Okay? Here's one from... Where are we here? Oh, from Mindy in Los Angeles. Our daughter and son-in-law just moved to Australia. We're planning to visit next March and April. Which airlines would you recommend? We were leaning towards Virgin Australia after a great flight from LAX to San Francisco on Virgin America. Well, the flight from LAX to San Francisco is 42 minutes. The flight from Los Angeles to Sydney is 14 hours. So I think you might want to put that in perspective. You also haven't told me whether you're flying in coach, business, or first. I'm a big fan of Air New Zealand, even though it says New Zealand, they fly to Australia. Obviously, Qantas flies, Delta flies, they all fly. The real question is, which class of service are you flying, and which kind of plane do you like? Most of the airlines these days are flying 777s. Occasionally, you'll get a 74 on the route, and then it's a question of which seat do you want. So I'll need a little bit more information from you before I can give you a much more complete recommendation. Here's one from Patrick in New York. What do you think about traveler's checks? Are they still a good idea, or is it best to stick with most credit cards and cash? Let me tell you what a traveler's check is. Let's call it what it is. It's an interest-free loan you're giving the bank. That's what a traveler's check is. And why do they think they give you that handy-dandy little wallet with the traveler's checks in there? So that when you come back, what do you do with that wallet with all those unused traveler's checks? You put them in your bureau drawer and you don't touch them. They're making so much money. You've given them all this money that's just sitting in your drawer. If you're that worried, remember the old ads with Carl Malden? What will you do? Well, let me tell you what you shouldn't do. Don't buy a lot of traveler's checks. If you're that worried about security on the road, maybe take $300 or $400 with you in traveler's checks, maybe four $100 traveler's checks. That's it. If you have an ATM card, especially from a bank that doesn't charge you fees to use it overseas or foreign transaction fees, I know Capital One doesn't charge you for the foreign transaction fees on their credit card, but ATM cards, even from Charles Schwab and some other brokerage houses, there are no fees attached to using them in ATMs around the world. That's what you do. You only take out the cash that you need on the day that you need it. You're getting the exchange rate that they're giving their other customers at that bank. You're not paying commissions from money changers. It's a win-win all around. And that's what you do. Minimum amount of cash. A real minimum amount of traveler's checks, because as I said before, a traveler's check is nothing but an interest-free loan you're giving the travel provider. And there you have it. And then if you really want to be cool, I'll teach you in another segment how to use your credit card to get three extra discounts that you weren't planning on when you were negotiating for anything overseas. Is that a pretty good tease? It is a pretty good tease. Okay. I will do that in the next hour. I will tell you how to use your credit card whenever you're like at a covered bazaar or an outdoor market or any kind of mall to get unbelievable discounts without ever using your credit card. All right, that's my tease. When we come back, a little bit of music here in Fort Myers with a surprise guest when we come back to the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers. Peter Greenberg Worldwide back right after this.
The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now, so call us at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. Now back to Peter Greenberg Worldwide.
52 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg coming to you from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida. Hard to believe that these guys came down here, discovered it, and Thomas Edison, I mean, it's amazing, 46 winters he had down here. I mean, this was his special place. Anyway, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. And if you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it on the air, just like we did the other emails. And coming up in the next hour, I was going to answer that tease of how do you use your credit cards to negotiate three separate discounts and then never have to use your credit cards when you're on the road. I'll tell you about that in a little bit. But first, my next guest, I don't know if he likes this title, but he's known as the local Jimmy Buffett. Are you going to live with that one, Danny?
That's great.
You'll live with that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's Danny Morgan. And this is what Danny's music sounds like.
Captiva, island of my dreams, you have stolen my heart. Your song is calling me like a melody falling from the stars.
You know, when you think about it, Danny, there's a little bit of Buffett in there.
Yeah, I think when you come to the sea, it gets in your veins.
And you've actually been on stage with Jimmy, right?
I have.
Yeah,
a number of times.
Did he remember?
No, you'd be surprised.
Are you a Parrothead?
I love his music.
Yeah, good. Now, what brought you down here?
A friend of mine was playing at South Seas Resort, and he had to go to New York to do a record with.
So you had to sub for him.
With Herbie Mann, yeah.
Oh, not bad.
Yeah, so he never came back. Fortunate
for you. And you've been down how long now?
1975 was my first performance here.
So they haven't found out yet.
No.
Okay, I just double checking.
I know, it's good.
That's great. So we know what got you here. What keeps you here?
I love the area is beautiful, and it's a healthy place to live. It's really great, especially if you can get to the water often.
I'm with you 100% on that. I think I'm with you 150% on that. But here's what I like about Fort Myers. You got a river music walk now, don't you?
We do. There's a lot of different things to do here, and great music everywhere. A lot of the restaurants have music. You can go out to the Mucky Duck and watch the sunset and hear somebody play.
It's funny. I got probably 5 emails today from friends of mine from another radio station actually in Miami, WIOD, that said to me, hey, are you going to the Mucky Duck? I mean, they all know. You know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all over. And I play at a place called Traders. I'm going to be there tonight. And it's fun. There's music all over the place.
Where do you like to? Now, I always have to ask you, because being here that many years, you now qualify. You realize this as a local. You know that. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Where do you like to go to hang out to eat? That's not in the brochure. That's not in the guidebook. That's your favorite dive and why?
Okay. It's not indoors.
I don't care.
Okay. You get the pizza and you go out to the beach with a bottle of wine.
Yeah, but where do you get the pizza?
Great White's really good.
Okay.
And Timbers is great. So those are pretty good. You grab your pizza, you get your bottle of wine and watch the sunset.
Okay, but when you're going to go inside, where do you go?
I like for a divey kind of place.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, you want to do something like that. Fort Myers Beach has a bunch of them. The Cottage is real funky. You know, it's right on the water, and they got good music there, and so that's always kind of a fun thing.
And what do they serve? What are you eating there?
Usually peel and eat shrimp. Next door, they have their little restaurants. You can get like...
So it's peel and eat shrimp.
That kind of stuff. I mean, that's what I like, but...
Now,
oysters, you know.
Ah, now we're getting to the point. Okay. And you're like living on oysters then.
I love it. And then there's a place called, you know, we have the Lazy Flamingo out here on Sanibel.
I love this. We have the Mucky Duck, the Lazy Flamingo. Do we have the Sedated Owl too?
Or what not yet.
Okay.
That's an idea though.
No, the Sedated Croc.
There we go.
Those are the dive places, right? And when you want to treat yourself?
The Cassia Bell's beautiful. You know, that's right on the water. You can sit in the dining room and look at the Gulf of Mexico. It's great.
Now you realize you precede every sentence with, it's right on the water. So that's one of your caveats. It's got to be on the water.
I like the water. So,
what's the one thing that when people come down here to visit you, they're surprised the most about?
I think that the summers are terrific.
I've been saying this all show long. I'm a big fan of the off season.
Yeah, it's great. And the water's beautiful to swim. If you like to swim in the Gulf of Mexico, you can't beat swimming in the summer and walking the beach. And there's breeze. I grew up in the Ohio Valley and between Kentucky and Ohio. And, you know, with the...
Known for their Gulf.
Known for the humidity and the lack of breeze. So when you come down here and there's great breeze and...
And you know what? If you got great breeze, that sort of mitigates the wide body mosquitoes.
Yes.
You got to have the great breeze. If you don't have the breeze, then the mosquitoes have orange cones just to land the other mosquitoes. You know,
exactly.
It's bad. Okay.
Well, except it's better now than it was in Edison's day.
Yeah, no kidding. In Edison's day, they basically were like dropping like flies.
Exactly.
And that was Edison's friends, right?
Yes.
Danny Morgan, the local Jimmy Buffett. You can find him any dive place on the beach eating oysters. Is that about right?
That's about right.
All right, man. Thanks again. That music means we're out of time for this hour. For those stations leaving us, have a great rest of your weekend. For those stations sticking around, we got a whole lot more coming from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates here in Fort Myers, Florida. Peter Greenberg Worldwide will be back with more, of course, as close to the beach as we can get, right after this.
You've been listening to Peter Greenberg Worldwide. Visit our website at www.petergreenberg.com. Got a travel question or comment? Need advice? Jump on board now by calling the show at 1-888-88-PETER. That's 1-888-887-3837. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
18 minutes after the hour. Peter Greenberg here with you from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida, the 10th most visited historic residence in America. A great tour. And if you think just Edison did the light bulb and the phonograph, you got another thing coming. His best friend was Henry Ford, and their good friend was Mr. Firestone. Does that ring a bell? Tire lovers. And what these guys did, how they conspired, what they invented, and most interestingly, what they tried to invent, is what makes this this estate so interesting to visit. And 30 acres, I might add. So check that out when you're down in the area. We're taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. If you can't get through on the phones, you know the drill. You email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question or problem, and we'll solve it right here on the air, as I do every week at this time on the show. I encourage you to go to our website, petergreenberg.com, because we have a comprehensive list of all the aid and relief organizations doing all that hard and essential work all around the world. In Haiti, where the rebuilding effort is going to take at least 7 more years. In China, in Japan, of course, in Chile, and in Christchurch, that's just the beginning of the places that have had so many problems, and all the people out there doing such great work. And when you look at that list on our site, guess what you're going to find? All sorts of opportunities for you, whether you're the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. There are things you can bring to the party. And if you do a volunteer vacation, or at least even tag a day on before or after, what you bring to the party, you become the party. And what you get back after you give back is exponential. So check it out. And as we always want to do on the show, every week, wherever we are, we like to highlight a local opportunity in volunteerism. And since we're in Florida, check out the Living Shoreline Project. It was created by the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. And let me tell you what these guys do. First of all, you can go there as a short-termer, meaning you can just do it for a day or a week. You don't have to go for 3 years. And they do it all year round. Now, the projects vary, but here's the cool option. You get to work with local restaurants to collect used oyster shells. And what are you going to do that? You're going to take those shells and distribute them on boats to help build and nurture coral reefs and create artificial reefs that protects the shore from wave action. It's a great cycle. You get to see it in motion. And the cool thing is you get to go out in the boat. See, anytime I get a chance to go on a boat, I'm volunteering. See the concept? Volunteer vacation, boat, I'm in. Anyway, for more information on how to get involved with the Living Shoreline Project, go to our website, petergreenberg.com, and you'll find out about that and so much more. Speaking of boats, how about this as a segue? We're joined by one of our regulars on the show, the editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic, our good pal, Carolyn Spencer Brown. Hey, Carolyn.
Hey, Peter. It's great to talk to you. That was one of the smoothest segues I've ever heard of.
I did that just for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So listen, if you heard me on the introduction, I was saying they're building even more ships. You can't tell me they're filling all the cabins.
They're building more ships, but they're not building a lot of ships. I mean, we saw, I've been doing this 15 years now, and I've seen two boom and bust cycles. And what I mean by that is when one decides to build a ship, then they all follow, and then everybody has too many ships for a while, and then all of a sudden they start to build again. And we're in this lull, the last year, this year, next year, really not that much going on, a little bit, not that much. But we're going to see maybe a little bit more of a growth spurt in, I'd say, from like 2015 on. So right now there's some ships out there, but it's not quite as exciting as it has been in other times.
Okay, but one of the things I sort of like was thinking about, because, well, you hinted at it yourself, are there still things you can do on a cruise ship that are free? Because I look at a cruise ship as a floating ka-ching machine. Every time you breathe, it's ka-ching, 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 ka-ching. And I know there are some people who actually pride themselves on booking a middle cabin and never leaving their cabin except to eat in the main dining room and never spending a dime on the ship. But for most people, what they pay for the cabin will be about one-third of what they're going to end up paying for the whole cruise by the time they add up everything they've done, right?
Yeah, I think you tend to get a little cynical sometimes. The new trend in cruising is that they're adding all sorts of stuff onto cruise ships. And at Cruise Critic, we don't have any real big problem with having to pay an extra fee for a better restaurant experience or for something that isn't really a natural thing that you really need. Where we start to get a little bit antsy is when cruise lines start to take advantage and abuse the process. And some of them are. But I will say that our story that came out, I think it was last week, on 20 free things you can do, you know, it reminded me why I love cruising all over again. It felt great to read it. Things that you can do, like zip lining and all sorts of activities, roller skating and a great all-you-can-eat Indian buffet. And it just reminded me there are a lot of great things you can do without spending money on a cruise ship.
Okay, but you said some cruise lines are taking advantage of this. Give me an example of how they're taking advantage of it.
Okay, so I have two little anecdotes that I trot out now and again that strike me as horrific. One is that Royal Caribbean has, I don't know, and you and I have talked about this before, they actually charge for steak in the main dining room. And I think the main dining room should be sacrosanct from any kind of extra fees besides liquor or something like that. I thought this was a horrible thing to do. Our readers seemed to think it was horrible. We did polls. We did stories. We railed about the $15 steak. I even tried the $15 steak. It wasn't that good. And guess what? Our influence was so pervasive that Royal Caribbean went and added two more extra fee items on the main dining room menu.
No.
So now you can spend $37.50 to buy surf and turf, or $30 approximately to buy lobster. Now,
okay, hold on. Wait,
but
Carolyn... Wait, Carolyn, so what are they serving for dinner for people who don't want to pay the surcharge? Mashed potatoes?
If you're lucky. If it's not on the menu, you're not getting it. So I think that they've gone too far with that. We're told 10% of the passengers of the cruise buy it. I think it depends on the culture. Like in China, where Royal Caribbean cruises, they don't get good beef, so they're willing to pay for it. When they're cruising around Australia, the Aussies won't touch it. And I think Americans fall somewhere in between. That's one example. The second example happened on Celebrity Cruises, and it happened to a couple of readers. And they had booked a $40 Murano restaurant, which is one of these alternative French restaurants that Celebrity has. They're beautiful restaurants. They just upped the fee 20% to $40 to get in the door. You get pay $40 just to walk in and sit down. And they were offered a glass of champagne, and they thought, what a lovely gesture. You know, we're paying $80 as a couple to get in here, and it's a lovely gesture. And then when they got the bill at the end of the evening, they were charged $17 each for the glasses of champagne. And I just thought that went way over the top. And those are the kinds of things that the cruise lines have got to watch out for. Charging to have a gourmet cupcake, yeah, that don't bother me. If you don't want a cupcake, don't buy the cupcake. But to do things that really seem dishonest or misleading to me, I think that's unacceptable.
I totally agree. I mean, look, the words all-inclusive should mean that. And anytime you see an asterisk after the words all-inclusive, you know that's a red flag, because that's the travel industry's admission they're about to lie to you.
And you just walked into my favorite lecture. Boy, I'm just on fire tonight on the lectures.
You go, girl.
All-inclusive is a word that it doesn't apply. It truly doesn't apply to any cruise in the world that I can think of. Some are more inclusive than others. But you're going to pay for stuff on some of them. I mean, all-inclusive, you're going to pay for the spa, for shore excursions. You're going to pay for alternative restaurants, cocktails on many lines, airline tickets on many lines to get to your cruise, hotels to stay in. That's fine. But when cruise lines say they're all-inclusive and then charge you $15 to have a steak in the dining room, I don't know. I think that's got to be legally incorrect.
I think so. And plus... I actually think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this one, do they fully disclose the $15 steak when you book your cruise?
No, they don't. It's on the menu, and we have a shot of it. We put it up on Facebook to show everybody what it looked like. And here's the thing that really kind of freaked me out a little bit. This was a cruise that we had somebody on 2 weeks ago, Jewel of the Seas, Royal Caribbean. And he took a screenshot of the menu. And you remember when you'd go on a cruise and you'd have formal night, everybody would dress up, and then you'd have lobster. And then the cruise line started to cut back, and you'd go to formal night, you'd sort of dress up, and you'd have surf and turf. And now it was really not that much formal night, and they serve something called a fisheries platter, which is a piece of lobster and some shrimp. So I'm thinking lobster's on its way out as and included in your fare item. And guys, if you love cruise and you love your lobster, enjoy it while you can.
Hey, listen, next month, they're going to have formal night, and they're going to show you a photograph of one dead lobster from 1947.
With, like, frozen butter, you know, rancid butter next to it.
And the lobster will be dressed in a tux.
Yeah. But I want to go back to one positive thing, because I don't want to come off as being this, you know, cynical woman. The 23 thing does remind you that there are a lot of things you can do, and that there's great pizza on board that you don't have to pay for. And some lines, I think, do a really good job with the more inclusive. I mean,
And you know what? Wait a minute, Carolyn. And the photograph of the lobster is free. Okay, that was just a thought. Carolyn Spencer Brown, the editor-in-chief of Cruise Critic. I love the story about the $15 steak and the lobster. Wow, talk about full disclosure. Back with more of Peter Greenberg Worldwide from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida, right after this.
To participate in the program and speak with Peter Greenberg, call 1-888-887-3837 or visit petergreenberg.com. The Peter Greenberg Worldwide phone lines are open now. So call us at 1-888-887-3837. That's 1-888-88-PETER. Once again, here's your host, Peter Greenberg.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you from the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Florida, taking your calls at 888-887-3837. That's 888-88-PETER. Earlier today, before we did the show, I got lucky because I just didn't have any tour guide here to the estates. I had the president and CEO of the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers, Chris Pendleton, who's now with me now. Hi, Chris.
Great to be here.
You know just a little bit about this place, don't you?
A little.
How long have you been here?
12 years.
I mean, and what I love about Chris is she's so passionate about this place.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and there's so much history here.
A lot to be passionate about.
Exactly. So what brought you down here?
The water.
You again. Everybody's the water.
Yeah, I love Southwest Florida. A lot of water, a lot of beach.
But what brought you to the estates, though?
It's an amazing place. Gardens, science, history, beautiful.
Yeah, you know, I've talked about some of the science already in the show, some of the inventions, some of the things that people might remember iconically, you know, everything from the Ford Model T to the light bulb and the phonograph. But we haven't really talked about rubber. We haven't talked about the plants. We haven't talked about his search for rubber.
Right.
Explain that.
Right. Well, gardens. Edison loved plants, loved gardens. It was wartime, and they needed to find a source for this country, and it was going to be in this part of Florida. 17,000 plants.
And the other thing that I found was fascinating, because you took me into the cartoon room, because I never thought of it in those terms, but at one point, Henry Ford wanted to run for president.
Yeah, they really wanted to change America one way or another, and running for president was one of the ways.
But that didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
But they were conspiring to do it.
They were definitely conspiring to do it.
Right, know? I mean, you had Ford, you had Edison, and you had Firestone.
Right, if needed to change America.
Hey, we got the light bulb, we got the tire, and we got the car. We got three pretty important things that are going to drive this country. Literally.
Right. Changes needed to happen all over the country, and they were going to make it happen.
Why didn't he run then?
Well, a little thing called the Depression, a little thing called not enough money to fund projects like that. A lot of the work went on, and it went on to success, but never was produced.
Now, Edison came down here for 46 years, and he came here because of health reasons, right?
Yeah. You know, we all love the warm weather down here. 1885 was beautiful weather, and he stayed for the next 46 years.
But only in the winters?
Only, yes, in the winters.
Just thought I'd mention that. The other thing I found fascinating about touring this museum is these guys were the original road trippers. I mean, these guys took the road trip, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I mean, they were Florida tourists, you know, starting as soon as there were roads in Florida and cars to go, they were ready. All over the country.
Right, but Henry Ford and Edison, they had the car. It was one of Ford's cars. Off they went,
but by the time they finished, hundreds of cars in the entourage, just exploring America, starting here.
Exactly, and today we might call it glamping, because they were doing it a little bit in style. I mean, they were fully equipped.
Definitely fully equipped, but started off pretty rough with a box on top of a truck.
And then they learned their lesson.
And then they learned their lesson, right.
Then the cashmere came out.
Right, we understand.
Okay. What's the biggest surprising thing about this estate, other than the fact that it's 30 acres, other than the fact that it's on the water, that he built a pier, that he built his reflecting pool? I mean, all the different things. I'm amazed that what amazed me was 46 years in a row this guy came down here.
Yeah, yeah. And something new every year and interest in everything you can imagine. I think the most amazing thing is the gardens. I think it's one of the best gardens I've ever seen. Beautiful, well, tropical, exotic, you name it, it's here.
Well, you know you made my day today because you found me a gardenia.
Right.
My mother's favorite flower, hard to find these days, and you've got them.
Yeah, that's right. Well, they tell me that I work here for pay, but also for gardenias, so I'm right there with your mom.
So we're good on that. Well, believe me, it was lovely to have that smell again.
And you saw the plumeria, too. Very impressive.
What was impressive?
That you knew plumeria.
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, the record reflects that I knew it. I impressed you with that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I actually went out and bought light bulbs.
Yeah, you did.
I mean, these are the 1893 replicas
right.
of the original light bulbs.